Well, maybe we'll leave that as another chapter. We'll wait till we get there, I guess. Let's do comment and collector in the microphone. Excuse me. Okay, I guess that's good enough. What we need to do today is we'll look at a better way of biasing a common emitter, or it could be any other configuration of common collector, common base, kind of transistor amplifier. Last day we did the simplest possible thing, but Carlos or somebody asked at the end of class, is that what you find inside your transistor radio or whatever? No, probably not. Once in a while I see those kind of things, but not usually. So we need to kind of fix up the problem that it had, and then probably do an example problem so that we can kind of get an idea how to do the more complicated thing, which works better. And then we need to talk about another kind of an amplifier, a common collector amplifier, which is good for buffer kind of amplifiers. There's a high input impedance and a low output impedance. Okay, so here's the problem. If you don't remember the problem we had here, the problem is that on BJT transistors, the beta can change between different transistors in the same model number by a gigantic amount. Let's just go look, for example, and see what a data sheet for one of these transistors says, and we'll see that the transistors we have in the lab are 2N2222 house mark parts, basically. I don't need images. I don't know why I did that. I want just find one here. Somewhere. Okay, it must be down here. Okay. What's this weirdness going on here? Well, maybe I'll go find another one. Maybe I'll quit for Chrome and try again. Okay, looks like it's working. No, it's not working. Okay. Let's get rid of this. Go back and find another one.
it the same. Oh no, it's the same site, you're right. Okay, these guys are just taking up all the top spots on Google here. Here we go. Okay, so here's a 2N2222. It's an NPN transistor. Collector to the maximum ratings, you know, VC, collector to base voltage, maximum 75 volts, collector to emitter voltage, 40 volts, base to emitter voltage, 6 volts. There's the electrical characteristics. Let's see if we can find beta. Here it is down here. It's known as HFE as well as beta, okay? And so notice this is a little sub-big kind of parameter. They have it at different collector currents. It's not exactly constant. They give a minimum here of, you know, 100, and then they have maximum 300, right? So that's a factor of 3 on these. And then you can see at different collector currents, you can get down to 35, or, you know, and you can also change it with the temperature. So that's kind of a problem. I don't know whether they've got a graph back here. Sometimes they do and show you how it changes with temperature and stuff, but I guess not on this data sheet. Let's just look at something to see whether we can see what it's doing here. Here's a, you know, some kind of a test circuit. They're putting a pulse in. They've got a 50 ohm load here. They've got a blocking capacitor or a coupling capacitor to keep the DC out from here, from getting back in their signal generator. They're doing the same thing we did with the 10K, which is basically setting their base current and then their collector current. Well, they didn't have a very big resistor here, so it really didn't matter to them, right? They're not going to get very much gain here on this circuit because, you know, the ratio of this to this, you know, I mean, this guy right here is not very big. And they've also got a very large VCC here, so it's not as liable to saturate the transistor. And, but it is a, you know, a common emitter amplifier. These things down here represent ground, all these bars they got there. And that's what they used, I guess, for testing the TD and TR time, rise time, and some other time. So, anyway, now you've seen a data sheet, and you can see that those parameters change a lot. So let's look at the problem with this circuit. The problem is that, see, this is really 0.7 volts, and that voltage there is fixed. So basically that fixes the I sub B, right? And when you fix the I sub B, if your beta changes, then that's going to change the I sub C a lot, right? And the I sub C, that's the current coming down into the collector here, that's what's going to saturate the transistor when this RC is very big, right? Because you're going to get a big IC times RC voltage drop. And when that voltage drop IC times RC gets too big, then this voltage here goes down. When this voltage needs to be higher than that voltage, which must be higher than that voltage to keep it in the active region. But if this voltage goes down lower than that voltage, then you're toast, right? You're in saturation. And so if the beta happened to, you design for a beta 100 and you got one of 300, you know, this resistor right here, you know, you'd have to make it work at 300, you'd have to cut it by a factor of 3, which will also cut your gain by a factor of 3, right? So, you know, people thought about this problem, and basically, the conclusion you come to when you think about this problem is that fortunately, the thing that causes the transistor to saturate is the DC current, right? And you really, what we'd like to do is we'd like to regulate the collector, the DC collector current. Because if we regulated the collector current to be so many milliamps, this voltage would be fixed, right? And if this voltage is fixed, this guy is not going to go down to the level of that guy right there when you change the beta. When you change the beta, it'll just change how much current sucks in the base, right? Which doesn't really matter to us because that's not going to cause the transistor to go into saturation. It's the lowering of the collector voltage here because the current in the collector changed, right? Now, the problem, of course, is if you regulate this current so it doesn't change here, when you change the voltage here, that's going to basically kill your output, right? So that's a problem. But there are ways to get around that. Let's just kind of look at what we would do. I'm going to start out with a simple thing here. Here's RC. Put my transistor in here. I could still do that. But now I'm going to put a current source down here. Okay, and I'll put this is VS right here. Put my C large is in. And here's V out right there. VCC right here. And I'll call this guy. This guy will be, he's basically approximately IC, but he's really IC plus IB. IC plus IB equals, beta IB plus IB equals beta plus 1 times IB. So this current, it basically set approximately equal to IC, what I wanted this to be. Now the problem is, if we look at the small signal model for this thing, now the emitter is open circuit. If we look at the small signal model, it has, you've got R pi here, and we've got beta IB here. And then that goes to the collector resistor, which goes to ground. But there's no longer a ground right here, right? That's not grounded. Right? So, when I put VS right here, right, I don't get an amplifier effect because whatever current goes in there has got to be also the same currents here, It's like, And this current right here is IB, and that current is beta IB, right? And that says that IB has to equal minus beta IB, right? And that says that IB equals what? Well, maybe I guess I need to do the algebra here. This says beta plus 1. IB equals 0, right? I mean, that's basically, this is, beta plus 1 IB is 0, which implies beta is not 0, right? So this means IB is 0, right? Does that make sense? And if IB is 0, then there's no voltage here, right? So V out is 0. Oh, dear. Not good. So we shot ourselves in the foot. Boom! Right? Ouch! So now we got to patch it up somehow. So what can we do to solve this problem?
It was all caused by what?
Ignorance.
Ignorance, yeah. Packing a loaded gun, right? That's what did it. So I'm not going to pack a loaded gun anymore. Yeah, not having ground there. I need this to go to ground. I need this to ground. I want this to ground. How do I get that to ground? What do I do? Yeah, okay, wire it to ground. I just did over there. What does that do over here? It puts something between here and here, right? 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 If I do that back to that again, then I'm back to the old circuit, right? But what can I do? Yes, capacitor! Oh, yes, indeed! C large. Yes. Thank you. Oh, you just saved my foot. Great. And so then that puts this wire back in and we're back in business, right? Now, the next problem, of course, is we've got to come up with a current source, right? That's kind of the next problem. And actually, there are ways to do that, and sometimes people do use this with an actual, you know, kind of current source that they put in here. And really, what we'll put in to start out with is the cheesiest current source I can think of, okay? Which still works kind of like a current source. So, what do we do here? I mean, let's just think, what does the current source look like? Here's an IV diagram. Here's V. Here's I. You know? A voltage source looks like this, right? This is voltage source. Okay, so what does the current source look like? Okay, so this is current source. And those are kind of like the limiting cases of a Thevenin or a Norton circuit, right? In fact, these are the only two that you can't take a Thevenin and make it into a Norton, right? That make sense? So if I wanted to make kind of a Norton circuit, you know, this would be, maybe I do it in red again. You know, if I want to make it closer to a current source, it's got to be some steep thing like this, right? So this is minus 1 over R Norton, right? And this point right here is I Norton. And, you know, if you want, this point right here is V Thevenin. Right? Do you remember all this stuff?
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, let's do this here, especially for Travis, who had his circuits a while back and forgot all this stuff. Okay. So, and this is VTH here. And let me do the Norton circuit. Okay. And what I want to do is I want to make this V, and I'll put the same black box on here as I put on here. I want to make the black boxes feel the same thing. So this is V, and this is I, and this guy is V, and that guy is I, and I want the equations to be the same, right? They're going to be the same, right? I mean, it's Norton, it's got to be that, and then I'll find out what I Norton is in terms of ETH and RTH, what R Norton is in terms of ETH and RTH, and so on, right? Okay, so we just write I'd like to write the I equation. I equals, well, I equals VTH minus V over RTH, right? So that's
VTH minus V over RTH. And, you know, you can write that as minus 1 over RTH times V plus VTH over RTH. If you like to have it, Y equals MX plus V. Slope in the, what is that form. And down here, I'm going to write I. I, in this case, is made up of two parts. It's going to equal this I Norton, right? And then plus, I guess it's minus V over R Norton, right? Which then I can write like this, minus 1 over R Norton times V plus I Norton, right? And now we can compare the two, and we can say, you know, this guy right there and this guy right there are the same, right? And this guy right here and this guy right here are the same, right? And now we can see that they both give you that line there, right? So if I wanted something like this that was pretty close to a current source, I'd want a big R Norton, right? Because R Norton goes to infinity would make that slope right straight up, right? So I want a big resistor, right? A big resistor and a voltage source, right? Carlos.
When you say big resistor compared to...
it depends on how close you want it to a current source. Like I said, this is going to be a little cheesy, right? It's not quite as good as I can do. I'll show you something better later. How's that? Okay, so here we go. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take that dude and I'm going to put in this Thevenin equivalent, okay? For the current source. So, here we go. Put the Thevenin... Oops, it should be a capital T. Mr. Thevenin circuit here. Thevenin equivalent of an imperfect CT current source. In our CE amplifier. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to draw the same stuff that I've got right there. Okay, so it has an R Thevenin, right? That's R E. That's the R T H, right? And I'm just going to put that down to ground because it connects up to VCC, right? So VCC, you know, or actually V from here to here, which is VCC plus VCE and so on, that's giving me the VTH, okay? So that's kind of doing the VTH is from, VTH equals, that's going to be VCC plus VCE, right? The transistor plus minus, this is VCE, okay? And it's not the best, but it's there. And then, of course, we're going to put in, you know, the capacitor here, C large and C large and C large. And then... just to give ourselves a little bit more freedom here, I'm just going to put something down here as well.
okay? I'm going to call this R1 and this R2, and this guy is still RC, and I called that guy RE. So now we have it kind of like the transistor is suspended on kind of, you know, four springs, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 kind of things, right? I mean, it's kind of in between there, and I can kind of adjust it up and down by adjusting the, you know, tightness of these springs kind of, okay? And so let's just see what it looks like and try and analyze this thing, because this circuit actually is useful, okay? This circuit is what people usually use. And so so let's look at the DC analysis. This is large signal. Okay, so I'm going to ignore all the capacitors, basically, okay? And just let's look and solve for, find, how do we find IB and IC? Okay, so step one, what I'm going to want to do, if I look from the base here, looking between the base and ground, basically I see R1, R2, and VCC, right? So I'm trying to make an equivalent circuit for this, and it's going to look like I can make a Thevenin equivalent of that. I'm going to call that VB, and I'll call him RB, and then that goes into my base, and that'll be easier to analyze than what I had before. There's VCC, and I've got my RE down here, and that goes to ground, and I've got IC here, and of course IB, and this guy goes to ground. So now I have this circuit and that circuit, right? Now, I suppose we should figure out what VB and RB are. Okay, so now let's go back to our Thevenin stuff, and if I disconnect this guy and look back, what do I see? Well, we can do this like this if you want, okay? And make the equation the same, or we could use some other tricks. I don't know which do you like to do. You know, one of the things I like to do is I just like one trick I find out here is I'd say, well, I'm going to turn off all round sources over on these guys, and then I can try and make them equal. So if I turned off all the sources here, I'd get a short for that guy right there. If I turn off this Di Norton, what does he go to? Open circuit. So then I have a resistor here going from there to there and a resistor here going from there to there, and to make them equal, I just say R Norton equals R Thevenin, right? Oh, which was maybe easier than this, right? Okay. So let's do the same thing over here. So if I turn off all the sources, that means VCC is zero, right? And I look back in that direction, cut this wire, and measure between there and ground, what do I see? I see some resistance. What's the resistance value? That will be R Thevenin, and that's this RB here. Okay, so which is it? She's, you trust her. You know what? You've started that. Me and you, we've kind of started to take on the same thing. You know, when Hillary says it, watch out. It's probably true. Okay, so RB equals R1 parallel R2, right? Okay, so we got that. And VB, what is VB? VB equals... Okay, so now, how would I find the Thevenin voltage here? That's what I want to do, right? Well, one thing I could do is just take this black box out of here, so it was open circuit, right? If I did that, that would mean making I equals 0. If I equals 0, V and VTH are the same. That's saying the x-intercept is right there, right? If I make I equals 0, that's the x-intercept. They just get VTH, right? You can see there's no RTH I drop if I turn I off, right? So let's do the same thing over here. So I've, you know, got my little point right here on the base. I cut that off, right? So no current flowing out there. And I should measure from there to ground, I should see VTH, right? Which is VB. And so what's that?
Is
You guys are all waiting for Hillary, right? Okay, what is it? Okay, well, this is known as what we call a voltage divider, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen that before. So we have a current going down there, which is VCC over R2 plus R1, right? That's the current. And that current gets multiplied by R1 to give me this voltage I'm looking for here, right? So if I write that, I'm going to have VCC divided by R1 plus R2, and then I have to multiply that by R1 to get the voltage, right? Is that okay? That's known as the voltage divider formula, right? Okay. So now we've got VB and we've got RB. Good. So then the thing we need to do is write a loop equation around this little part right here. Okay. So that's pretty easy. So let's do that. I'm going to have minus VB plus RB times IB plus, what's the voltage across here? Yeah, VBE, and what is it usually?
About
0.7. Yeah, I just always use 0.7. 0.7. The books is always using 0.6, but somehow I got into the 0.7. Okay, now what's the voltage here? This is a little trickier, right? No, that's the current times RE, right? So it's RE times the current. And what's the current? What's the current going down RE? IC, right, plus what? IB, right? And IC is equal to what in terms of IB? I'd kind of like this all in terms of IB because I'm going to set it equal to zero here. Beta IB, right? So, then I could solve for IB like this. I could say VB equals, bringing the VB over to the other side, I'm going to have RB times IB. I'll put all the stuff times IB. RB plus, I better put the minus 0.7 too. So I'm going to put VB minus 0.7. And then that equals RB, IB, and then I've got RE plus RE times beta plus 1 IB, like that, right? Oops, I got the parentheses in the wrong place. Like that, right? I do, don't I? Yeah, right. I'm stuttering on the whiteboard, man. It's really bad. Oh, is everything right there? Okay, well, if you think so, it looks good to me. So, yeah, right. Did Hillary say yes? That's a good question. She did, didn't she? She said, I think so. That's good enough for me. So I've got VBB, or VB minus 0.7 divided by RB plus RE times beta plus 1. Now, so that's IB, and IC, what is IC then? Let's look at IC and see if we solved our problem, kind of. IC is equal to beta IB, right? Which is equal to beta times VB minus 0.7 divided by RB plus RE times beta plus 1, right? Okay. Now, in the case that RB is small compared to RE times beta plus 1, right, then we could say this beta over beta plus 1 is kind of going to cancel out. When you change beta from 100 to 300, it's not going to change things much, right? Does that make sense? So we've effectively done what we wanted to do, because RB probably is, you know, it can't be too much bigger than
because RB is going to be the parallel combination of these guys. You see, kind of what I did by putting this R1 in here, it kind of helped this problem. Because, you see, what I had before was just R2, right? And in order to make it so that the base current here would have then been VCC minus this voltage over R2, and if you want to set, you know, this voltage is kind of set by the collector current coming down through here, so that voltage is kind of set, so it kind of makes this guy, it makes it so that guy is going to be a pretty big resistor. And now, by putting this guy in here, I've got a smaller resistor for RB than I would have when R1. See, if R1 is infinity, then RB is R2, right? That's one of the possibilities I could use if I wanted to, but that's just going to make this thing not quite so good. So, you know, it looks like we actually got what we wanted. And what we really usually do is we decide what collector current we want here, right? Because that's going to set this voltage right here. And once we set that voltage, you know, we can pick this voltage so that we get a VCE here, so that this voltage is higher than that, which is higher than that, right? And then once we have that set up, we know our VCE, we know our IC, so now you can go on the output thing here, right? And you know what current's going through here, what current's going through there. You know this voltage, that helps you pick this RE, right? And you pick the voltage you want here, so that tells you what RC is, and then you just kind of hope that you're going to get a good enough, you know, gain on this thing. So you got RE and RC. Once you've got RE here, then you can go back to this IB equation here, and if you've got VCC picked, then notice that, notice that RB here, let's just look at RB. RB is equal to R1 R2 over R1 plus R2, right? And if we call alpha this ratio of R1 over R1 plus R2, if we call that alpha, this is really R2 alpha, and VB is equal to R, no, just alpha times VCC, right? Alpha VCC, and I'm assuming you picked VCC before you whole started the thing. And so once you, you know, you've got these two equations for R2 and alpha. Once you figure out what you want for R2, you can do that by this. Because once you know what the voltage is here, that tells you what the voltage is there. It's 0.7 higher, right? So you know what VB is. Once you know what VB is, then you got alpha. And once you got alpha, then there's only one other thing to get IB right here to set it. You know the voltage here, and you've got VB. So that tells you what RB has to be, because you know IB, right? So you kind of, you know, work yourself around to get what you want, trying it as hard as you can not to have a bunch of equations and a bunch of unknowns. You're trying to kind of go from one to the next so that you don't have to simultaneously solve things, you know, just to try and make your life a little easier. So we need to take the last 7 or 8 minutes, I guess, and talk about a common emitter or a common collector amplifier. So maybe I'll do that over here. Often, this kind of amplifier, remember if we looked at it last day, it was basically like this amplifier, and we found the input impedance here was something like it was RB, right? Whoops, what did I do? Click the wrong thing. I want to go down here somewhere. We finished this thing. I must be going. No, I'm going the right way.
No, I'm going the wrong way. Where is this thing? 13. I need to go this way. How did I get way up on top? Okay. We ended up with some things here. The input resistance was IRB parallel R pi. And that ended up being approximately R pi, right? And then the output resistance was RC. Well, if you remember, R pi was about 400 ohms here, right? And so if we're going to drive this thing with a very high impedance source, it's not going to work very well, you know. It needs a low impedance source to drive the thing because it's 400 ohms input resistance, right? If your input resistance is much smaller than your source resistance, then you're in trouble. In other words, let me show you here. Here's the source, VS, and here we have the source resistance, RS. Maybe he's 40K or something. Or 10K or something. I don't know. Let's just make it 10K, something nice like 10K. Okay, 10K. And then the input resistance here was about 400 ohms, right? Right, from the common collector or common emitter amplifier. And our gain was what, 200 or something? Our gain, what did we do our gain? Yeah, 200 and something, 210. So this guy right here, it's actually going down, and this is 200, say, and the output, you know, this is the output resistance here. Oh, actually, it was a voltage gain, not a current gain. It was a voltage gain. It was minus 200. Right? I'll just put minus 200, plus minus like that. And this was RC here, which was about 1K, right? Equals 1K. So if we, had a 50 ohm load resistor here, right? This is RL. How much gain do we get out of this thing? Well, let's see. What is the output here? You know, V out. So V out is equal to, well, first of all, this is V in here. This is 200 VI. So here's VI. So I put this thing the wrong way. This is supposed to be a voltage. I started writing a current and then I changed it to a voltage because that's what we calculated. Output resistance like this, RC equals 1K. And this was minus 200. Get this right. Minus 200 VI. Okay. And so what do we get for V out? So V out is minus 200 VI times the voltage divider ratio, which is times 50 over 50 plus 1,000, right? And then VI is equal to 400 VS over 400 VS over 10,000 plus 400, right? Is that right? Okay, and so this guy equals minus 200 times 50 over 1050 times 400 over 10400, right? Which is approximately 5/100. That's about 0.05, right? So this is 0.05, and this is about 4/100, but 0.04, right? So 0.05 times 0.04 is 0.002, is that right? Okay, what is 0.05 times 0.04? Yeah. It's, and then multiply that by 200. Save me the effort. If I was Prof. Cross, I'd be able to do that without any problem. But I just unfortunately grew up in the era of calculators. This is minus 0.366, right? Times BS, right? Ah, it's not even amplifying, man. Right? That's horrible. So we got to fix this. And, you know, I mean, we got 1 minute to fix it, but let's just give it a try and see what we can do, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put an amplifier on the front like this. VCC, okay? I'm going to call this guy VI, and I'm going to put my output right here. So I'm just going to call this guy RL. Let's just see if this kind of might work for us, okay? So I'm going to approximate this thing for AC signals as approximately 0 volts AC, right? In other words, that 0.7 volt source is approximately 0 AC, right? And there's, I'm leaving the RPI out because I'm trying to make this as easy as possible. There's IB there, and there's beta plus 1 times IB here, right? Does that make sense? So the output voltage is basically VI, right? You agree? Because I said this was 0 volts across here, and this is VI across here, right? Right? So V out equals VI. So I'm not getting any voltage gain here already. You can see that. And maybe throw this whole thing out. It's no good, right? But we do have some interesting things going on because the input resistance Rn is going to be, it's going to be VI divided by what? Input, you know, so I'm using my ohmmeter here, put a voltage here, measure the current in, what is the, it's the ratio, right? V divided by I is resistance, right? So it's VI over IV, right? Right? Okay, and I know that VI over beta plus 1 IB is equal to RL, right? Right? And so this guy is equal to RL times beta plus 1, right? Oh, this is like a magnifying glass, right? When I look at the resistance that I'm going to drive here with this thing in front of it, right, it's like a magnifying glass. It makes that tiny little 50 ohm there, or whatever that RL is, look like 5K, right? Oh, that's cool. That's what I need right here, right? And next day we'll kind of look and see what would happen if we looked from the RL perspective and there was a VS, you know, an RS and a VS back here. If I'm looking back that way, what does the VS and RS look like? And we can kind of figure that out too, and maybe that would give us another, we could put another one of these guys over here if it works. Because it's like a magnifying glass, right? It's going to make this 50 ohms look like what? 5K, right? It's going to make this 400 ohms look like 40K, right? And then we'll get our gain back because we see we lost it all with this voltage divider action here, the loading effect. Yeah. Well, they use them as switches, you know. They turn them on or off, so it makes the voltage high or low.
Okay.
So kind of like that relay driver we looked at.
Like for holding a 1 or a 0?
Yeah, holding a 1 or a 0. I mean, they have, it's either on or off. It's like a switch. Mm-hmm. And then they have things called flip-flops, which are actually bistable, like two transistors. And it's stable. It's kind of like either locked up or locked down. And it kind of remembers what the last state was. And so that's a memory element. Once you have a memory element and logic levels, then you've got all you need for a processor.
So flash memory also, like, just like the RAM, those are made up of transistors also?
Well, yeah, they usually, in fact, some of these RAM chips, they're made up of field effect transistors. And they just, and capacitors, and they just charge a capacitor up with a switch, right? And that keeps the, you know, voltage there for a while.
So
that's their memory element.
Away when you turn off the
right, yeah.
How did SSD work then?
Oh, there, you know, there's also things you can do. I'm not sure exactly how the ones in the solid state, because there's all these different ways people have come up with doing it, but there's, you know, there's things where you can actually burn a little fuse, like some of these ROMs. You know, they actually changed the thing. And then they had electrically erasable ones. The old early ROMs were basically UV erasable. So you'd shine UV on it, and then it would erase all the programming you did. And then, you know, you could reprogram it again. It's not holding it. Yeah, it's actually changing the physics of the circuit, kind of. So yeah, there's a lot of different, things that people do.
Thank you.
Yeah. Have a good day, Carlos.
You too.